Flashpoint no more? Could the Master of Middle-Earth meddle in Metropolis? And Harley Quinn movie gonna be filthy? Today on DC Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes.
Who are you?
I'm just like, absorbed. I just had a stone. Or something.
A what?
I just like absorbed a stone.
I got you.
No.
Not a kidney stone. I got you.
Well, that's an interesting theory I hadn't heard, that like Thanos was passing kidney stones.
That's the other, that's the seventh stone is the kidney stone.
Oh. It's said to be very painful.
And he has to pass it in order to put it there?
It's my biggest fear, the kidney stone. The thing that you know that's in there that the only way it's going to get out is through the
Does
most
everyone
painful
have them?
Thing. No, 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 no.
Only if you're unlucky.
I'm due for a bunch, I think, because I drink so much diet soda.
I know. I heard that that was a thing.
I heard that's a thing.
Hey,
so
guys,
sure
welcome to Talking Kidney Stones on the Popcorn Talk Network. I'm Adam Gertler, and I am joined today by some regular, wonderful squad members. Are you okay? Did we lose power?
I lost audio.
I lost audio, too.
Oh.
Oh, all right.
Are we okay?
I have audio.
I think Anthony will write us a message, hopefully letting us know if you guys can hear.
I can still hear you guys.
Us the people. We the people. No, that's not you.
That's not me.
DC Movie News.
Okay.
Anthony, talk to us, my man.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
You can hear him?
I have everything, fine.
Oh, you can't hear him?
Check the thing under the desk.
Can you translate for us?
Yeah, I can translate. He's saying to check the thing under the desk.
Oh.
Make sure.
Okay.
Make sure.
Well, I guess we're live, so just keep doing the show.
Okay, guys. This is the show where we talk about kidney stones and DC movie news. I'm Adam Gertler, and I am so happy to be joined by my Schmodown partner,
hey!
Mr.
Here
Mike Kalinowski.
We're on the same page. We're here together.
This is so rare.
This is I don't even know what was it. When the planets align, things happen weird. That we're all here together.
Yeah,
almost.
I know.
Not all of us, but you and I at least.
I know, and then Johnny's gone today.
I don't know when the next... When was the last time we were all four together? Was it Justice League, when we were talking about Justice League? Maybe?
Really? No.
I've been the oddball. It's my fault most of the time. You guys, the three of you at least, have been together a bunch. I'm the problem child.
Yeah, you are the problem child.
But that's the story of my life. But, yeah, here I am. Here we are. And it's like a slow news week, too. The 1 week that I'm here. And we got slow news.
Slow news
slow
is better
news?
Than no news.
I think there's some news.
A little bit, but slow.
I'm still amazed at how much news comes out, how many announcements get made, how many things happen. But there's one person we haven't introduced
And that's
yet.
Not slow.
That's not slow. It's Elena Jordan.
Oh!
Psych! Roxy Stryer.
It's a good one because the people on the audio probably were fooled. Hey. People listening on iTunes were like, hey, yes, it's Elena. And then they're like, oh, man.
No, they heard you earlier in the podcast. Where you were like, I can't hear. I lost audio.
You mean
hear.
When I was doing that really professional thing where I broke all of the walls, not just the fourth one? Well, at least now you get to see what the top of my head looks like. It's ridiculous.
You still can't hear anything?
Wow. That's a really nice top of head.
No, there's zero.
Your headphones.
Yeah. No, that's not why.
Okay. No, is that why? Oh, I see. Because you're like, what's the purpose of the headphones?
Well, I can't hear you guys because it's blocking my hearing from hearing you guys. So I took them
that
off.
That much so?
I see. Now you can hear us, though.
Yes, now I can hear you.
Okay.
Because
you're right here.
Because I can't hear you in my mic, but I can still hear you.
Well.
I hear you in my mic, though.
Dun, 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 dun,
you don't hear,
dun,
you don't
dun,
hear me
dun,
now.
Dun, dun, dun,
just lost
dun,
it.
Dun, dun,
anyway.
Here we go.
Let's talk about DC movie news. Let's jump in with a couple of hot, juicy, fresh off the social media webs.
Listen to that chef going to town with those verbs there.
Oh, yeah. This is some crispy, fresh rumors just pulled out.
Listen to that. That's...
The first thing we're going to talk about is one that came from the Scoopmeister himself, Mr. Umberto Gonzalez, with this very cool meme that's been going around. Everybody's been doing these Vanishing Infinity War memes.
Yeah.
And this
they
is...
They stole from The Leftovers.
What's the best one you've seen of those?
Oh,
I know mine right away.
What is it?
It was Jeffrey the Giraffe in Toys R Us.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, Jeffrey. I'm a Toys R Us kid, though. I grew up with Toys R Us. So this is hitting me hard.
Because that giraffe is no more. Yeah, I was a
Toys R Us, man. I was a Toys R Us kid, too.
It is hitting me hard. But yeah, what's your big one? Do you have one?
No.
Okay,
I can't
never mind.
Remember,
I
man.
Stop the conversation. I'm sorry, guys.
Anyway,
okay.
This is a cool image of Jeffrey Dean Morgan as the Batman in the weird Flashpoint future.
No.
Because the rumor, first let me just say, the rumor is that one that we've actually discussed on the show. This is kind of just furthering along what we've suspected for a long time.
I thought we talked about this.
We did talk about this, but this is just him like doubling down on it, saying that they're not doing Flashpoint. They are doing a Flash movie,
which I think is smart.
Really smart. I was super against Flashpoint for a very long time because we don't even know these characters.
But also against Flashpoint, people were looking at that as they wanted to reboot the DCU, which it's not going to happen. It's not happening. I think...
Not like that, anyway.
You guys got this feeling now that things
are... So sudden and new.
No. That things have slowed down a little bit, that the Walter Hamada in there, and the kind of change that happened, that, like, they're pumping the brakes on a lot, but they're finally...
No, I don't have that feeling, to be honest.
I know what you're saying. I was actually just thinking about this before, and I think that they've taken so much time. They're really doing a lot of internal stuff right now. And it's interesting that all these filmmakers keep getting released, but we're really not going to know what it looks like until we see a couple of these new films. What does this sort of in the same world, but not really kind of thing look like?
But what's weird about that, you mentioning the filmmakers getting released, I was thinking about that too, Adam. I feel like that is such an LA thing to be releasing because general audiences don't get excited about filmmakers.
Well, and we're going to talk about that because I'm curious as to what the DC fans that listen to us and watch us think about some of this and how and whether or not it does make you more optimistic about the future of the DCU. Now, speaking specifically about the Flashpoint rumor, when I saw a thread on Twitter, there was one guy that said no, but then about 1,000 people that thought this was a good idea. Like, I didn't see a single fan of DC that thought that not doing Flashpoint was a bad idea. So people seem on board with this concept.
Yes.
Flashpoint, to me, not to draw parallels, but I'm going to do it anyway, is their Infinity War type build-up. You get to know these characters over 10 years, then do Flashpoint and change everything over.
That's what I was
saying.
That's
a Flashpoint. But we were looking at it back in the thing. It's like, okay, are they going to get rid of Affleck? Is this the device they're going to use? Well, it seems like that is all done. And they're going, no, we're just making a Flash movie. We're going to make Ezra Miller, Flash, current, whatever's going on. That's what it's going to be.
But
could it be? Let me ask you this, Adam. Yeah. Roxy. Do you think they're seeing what they've got with Aquaman? They're seeing the dailies on Shazam and they're going, oh, we could just do a standalone film, let the character be the character and have him have a great film and just go. Don't worry about connecting and this and that. Just
none of this is easy, but I do think it's a lot easier to get great filmmakers to make great films than to try to just ape what Marvel's done. Because every other franchise that has tried to do it, every other single one has failed.
Are we going to talk about... This is gonna, I interrupted you. I apologize.
Are you moving forward?
No, it's not. Same
thing. No.
Are we going to talk about the kind of shade throwing with the Russo brothers or Gunn said about DC?
We can. Absolutely.
You are moving.
Yes.
No. That will talk. It will go back into this, what we're talking about.
Okay,
right
but
here.
Talking about what we're talking about.
I just want to.
The one thing that I am worried about, which is if it's a Flashpoint or just a Flash film.
I don't want you to worry.
Well, I am a little worried. That Flashpoint or a Flash film, regardless, is you guys know this, and it's nothing against Ezra Miller. He just, for me, he's not my Grant Gustin, and aka he's not my Barry Allen, and I don't know if I think he can carry a whole movie.
I got 40% odds that they might replace him.
Wow.
I would not. Now, it's weird because we know we're going.
Him, though.
I know, but the thing is, the stink on Justice League is so bad that. You know we're replacing Batman, most likely. I don't know that you have to... That there's no world in which you have to keep Ezra Miller because dot, dot, dot.
The only one of that is Gal, right?
What? Yeah, you hold on to Gal. You're holding on to Jason Momoa, okay? I don't know that you're definitely holding on to Ezra. And now the other thing is, like, a lot of people thought this was going to be the last time we saw Batfleck in a cool transition because he would be in the present-day part of Flashpoint. And now people are suspecting that, well... Maybe that's out the window now, too. You're not going to see that. You're not going to see Affleck in it.
Have you guys noticed or seen Affleck on social media lately and pictures?
He
looks like he is having the time of his life.
Really?
He's working on a movie, but every time he's being pictured in the media, he's smiling. He's waving to, like, the pictures, the paparazzi. It's like he's showing video on his Instagram of, like, oh, there's the paparazzi coming, watching me just walk into the store here. And he's like, it's a different Affleck
what
than from a year ago.
That?
The fact that I think... It goes to the fact with everything that Affleck does. When he's enjoying his life and his personal life is great, he's having fun making movies. And when his personal life is a mess, it's the Justice League, post-Justice League press conference.
Right.
Everything sucks.
Right.
I want out of this thing. It's You know, he's looking healthy. He's again. He's like really big again. They're saying, oh, he's bulking up for Batman. I don't know if that's true. Right.
So when he did that appearance in Dallas a couple of weeks ago, I never heard anything from it. Like, did he...
I think they'd said you can't ask these questions.
Oh, really?
Didn't they say that? Oh, I don't know. Boy. I don't know.
I don't know. That's interesting.
I love when we make Adam go, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so there's definitely no word on the Affleck front or
anything
like that.
I think he's finally like... I think WB's like, Reeves, go do your thing. Make your script, and when it's ready, we'll talk casting. I don't know.
I hope that's the case. We can't have any idea.
I don't know.
But anyway, I think this is a good idea. Moving on to the next sort of rumor. So the gentleman, I forgot his name, that talked about sort of Steven Spielberg coming in to do that movie. What was
Blackhawks.
Blackhawks. Said that there was another major director that was going to be announced soon. And we found out yesterday through the rumor mill who will that be. And that is the Master of Middle-Earth himself. People on his team at the OneRing.net, was it, reported that the Jackson team is deciding if they're going to go back to Middle-Earth for this huge Amazon project or if they're going to do something at DC, both of which are Warner Brothers properties, because all the Lord of the Rings, Hobbit stuff was New Line.
What do you think Warner Brothers would prefer then?
I gotta think they'd want Peter Jackson in the DCU. I don't see the purpose of remaking Amazon with the same. I mean, remaking the Lord of the Rings with the same guy. Like, what are you going to change? The costume designs? Like, clearly that was his vision.
But don't you think a lot of studios think like, if it ain't broke. But to Adam's saying... I'm not saying as a fan, I'm saying as a...
But I kind of said, first of all, for Peter Jackson, why would he want to go back to what he's already done?
And took up so much of his life.
Yeah, it was over 10 years.
I can't imagine why he wanted to.
The fact that he went back for the Hobbit stuff, even when he wasn't going to. And he's like...
And didn't want to.
Right, so it's like, I think he's like... Again, Roxy, this is all LA stuff. It's happening down the street. On the studio, they're talking, people coming in.
That being said, Peter Jackson is a filmmaker not on the caliber of the duo that made Game Night and the Flash movie, Game Night, which was great, by the way, and I'm excited for the Flash. But this is Peter Jackson, just like that's Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
These are not the kind of filmmakers that you put under the management of, say, like the Kevin Feige system. This is... Yeah. A different system.
You are 100% right.
Right? So I'd be really curious to see... What would you do? And I don't think we put a separate piece about Man of Steel, so we can kind of roll this into, like, I drew that really wonderful Superman shield up there.
You did that?
That was me, guys.
I enjoy that. That's
I just
great.
Did that right now. Thank you. But also people were talking about Christopher McQuarrie.
Did you see?
Henry Cavill wanting him.
Like he had said, they have to ask.
Talking about Peter Jackson, though, I just want to mention that the chat right now, by the way, guys, we go live Thursdays, 3 p.m. Pacific time. If you want to join us on YouTube, the chat right now is all saying Peter Jackson for Green Lantern.
I mean, that sounds amazing. I mean, if Peter Jackson is excited about a project and ready to jump into a world, that sounds amazing. Because we already talked about what Ava DuVernay is doing. That's what I would have put Peter Jackson into.
The New God stuff?
The New God sounds like this, but Green Lantern is a huge mythology, and it doesn't have to exist on Earth, at all.
Would you need to know that he was a fan first, or would you not care because he's Peter Jackson?
I mean, the only reason why it would matter to me that he's a fan is because he talks so much about his fandom for the Tolkien stuff throughout that whole process. It felt so personal, and I don't know, some of those other films I'm not as crazy about. I didn't even really like the Hobbit films that much.
I have to watch
Dr. Doofenshmirtz, 1899, says, Peter Jackson would be a great Batman. I think you're in the wrong.
He is a lot slimmer right now. I mean, he could definitely be a great Batman.
Did he mean to direct Batman?
I think he meant it as an actor.
I think he meant he'd be a great Batman.
Okay.
Do you think you'll let him borrow your cowl? Okay.
Yeah, but obviously this is a no-brainer. Like, if Peter Jackson is going to come into the DCU,
this is not. Yeah, I don't think WB's going to these directors. Like, come in and talk to us. I think these filmmakers are going to them. Or there's a dialogue being opened up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, there's not like with what they got with Black Widow, there's 65 directors they're looking at right now. It's like, no, this, with these named directors, they're coming in going, DC's kind of like, well, what interests you?
Yeah.
What do you have a take on? You know?
Now I can't think about anything but other than Green Lantern. Like, if anyone's going to unlock that, if Peter Jackson.
Have you read Earth One Green Lantern?
No.
The hardcover?
No. From when?
From it maybe March. Just
oh, is this a side verse?
They're the Earth One series.
So they exist out of continuity. I love that.
A couple more things from the chat to discuss right now. Jonathan Peck, how about Peter Jackson doing Justice League Dark? What would you guys think?
That's the one everyone's saying that's the one he's up his alley.
Right. I just don't feel like Justice League with the Swamp Thing news that was announced and everything.
I can't believe you weren't here for that. That's so depressing.
Such a bummer.
We'll give you a chance in TV time. Sion Hughes says, what about him directing a Cyborg movie?
No.
I don't know if Cyborg movie's going to happen. I can't imagine. And I love that Ray Fisher was here with us, friend of the show. But I can't imagine a world in which they think there's a demand or an audience for a Cyborg movie after a failed Justice League movie.
To me, Cyborg is like Black Widow and Winter Soldier. Massive part of the story, but not the main story of Captain America, Winter Soldier. Like, him with Flash. Yeah. Cyborg and Flash together, that's a movie.
Yeah. So maybe, I hope, you know, if they do keep Ezra Miller, then maybe there's still a world in which that original vision, which they had talked about Cyborg being a part of the Flash movie, maybe that can happen. And maybe even Batfleck can show up in a modern day Flash movie. You know, you could do any sort of...
Yeah.
Is it too much aping Homecoming if you have the Flash movie with Batman there and they're doing more of that mentor-mentee thing? I mean, like...
I kind of like it.
Yeah, I like it, I know. But then we have seen it a bunch of times and it would draw really direct comparisons.
Yeah, that's true. And that's kind of what they're trying to steer clear from, I think. But I would still like it.
Now let's talk about the other thing that I was curious about. I mean, it's weird when, like, actors are leading the thing. It really, like, makes me nervous. Like, oh, Henry Cavill wants me to do it. Oh, if Henry Cavill asked me, if Margot Robbie, like, who's running the ship here? Is it the actors? But what do you think about that? Christopher McQuarrie, Man of Steel 2. Do you think we're going to get the Man of Steel 2? Would he be a good director for it? This guy who's doing now multiple Mission Impossible films.
I was expecting Mike to have, like, a big opinion on this, so I looked
I love Chris McQuarrie. I love him. And I think this has all come up since they've worked together. So obviously they had a wonderful time working together. Anytime you get a director and an actor, look at Scorsese and DiCaprio, where they've found their muse. And maybe, because he keeps talking. He's like, if Cavill asks me, we're going to go forward. We're going to go forward.
And I get the feeling that Warner Brothers does want to make another Superman movie, but they don't want to make a misstep. They're very careful.
Let's say this. Rogue Nation was the biggest Mission Impossible so far. He's the first director to get a second sequel because Tom Cruise, everyone loves him. The buzz with this one is great. If this movie comes out gangbusters this summer, if he went with Cavill to WB going, hey, this is my pitch on Superman, they're like, go do it. I think that's what happened.
I will tell you this, just from like when he like does that kung fu busting out his sleeves and you hear that whip.
And he does that like punch, I was like,
does that not get you
every single time?
I'm like, that's just awesome. Just based on that, I want him to direct a Superman movie. It's like, he does this like, you hear that like, it's like in the martial arts movies where like they just whip their clothes and you're already hearing those whipping sound effects.
And he's massive. And then like when he punches, it's like, I think Cavill needs an actor's director. Like Guy Ritchie and Man from U.N.C.L.E., he's so charming in that. Snyder's much more of a visual guy. He doesn't really spend as much time with the actors, I don't think. Could be wrong, but I mean, again, look at Patty Jenkins with Wonder Woman. You know, people were worried about her. Now she's probably one of the greatest incarnations. People, when they say, who do you find top 10 superheroes of all time? And their actor, Gal is up there.
Right.
So I think...
But Gal was picked by Zach.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, we saw...
And Patty didn't want her at first.
Yeah. Is that true?
But Patty said, like, I looked at her and was like, that's not my Wonder Woman. But then she was like, good thing I was
wrong. Got to work with her. So I think Cavill just... And I've said this before. He just needs an actor's director that will take the time and just go with it. There it is.
Oh, yeah. That's sick stuff.
Thanks, Batmanthony.
Oh, Batmanthony and the boom.
I would say, again, I think this is one of those properties that they're just kind of...
They're just really gun-shy because Superman is such a huge property. But they're doing so much with it. It's like it's a black eye if it doesn't come out
crush. But so much of the problem, not problem, but with Justice League is problems, as it were, people love the Cavill we finally got in it. They love that Superman.
I know.
We finally saw
it. And then the biggest problem was that that was the right Superman. And then that was besmirched by...
Right. So
the biggest controversy of the movie, which is the lips.
Yeah.
It was like, here's your best thing, and it canceled it out.
I agree, and I think...
You won't even say the word mustache.
But still people still talk about, you know, wanting a Man of Steel 2. If they didn't talk about it, you know, that would be a problem. But there's still... everyone asks people about it. They ask Cavill about it all the time. So
if
I think
you were
it's...
to ask me, though, what are the top 50 movies I want to see made right now?
50?
50? Man of Steel 2 would not be in there for me.
Interesting. I will say this. I was watching Krypton the other day. I'm a couple of weeks behind. But after Superman the movie came on, and I was so sad that all I got was the first 2.5 minutes of that 1938, the comic book opening, the credits going into space, I'm like... This gives me chills. The opening of that movie gives me chills. And I didn't even get to see Krypton. I just saw the comic book, the Daily Planet. We're up in space. We're zooming across. I'm like, that was so ahead of its time. Donner, what they were doing back then. Oh, my goodness. I can only imagine to the kids watching this, that must seem like an ancient film. But I just think it's so good. So we do know that Wonder Woman 2 is going into production, and it's happening soon. So this is probably going to be the film we see right after Shazam, right?
Shazam.
After Shazam, then it's going to be Wonder Woman, and now we have some locations.
So you think we go Aqua, Shazam, Wonder Woman 2?
I think that's all that we know. And that is, it's funny, like, you'd think we would know this doing this show every single week, like, but you have to check yourself sometimes. So now we know that
it's... yourself.
Yes. So there's a lot of talk about Cold War and stuff, but now we know that we're going to be filming in Virginia, we're going to be filming in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, we're filming at a mall.
So what do we know about this, Roxy? What have they told you?
Well, we know a couple of different things about this. We know that we're filming at a mall in Virginia and, like you said, in Washington, D.C. We know that when we are filming is this summer. We know that they are getting a, more specifically, Patty Jenkins is getting a raise this time around, which we already talked about, hoping that she would make some more money at it. And
some bucks.
That's pretty much, and like you said, we know where it's going in the franchise. So that's what we know right now. It's according to Washington Business Journal that this is going to be filming scenes at the abandoned Landmark Mall in Alexandria.
So they're going to make it look 80s.
And that's in June and July.
It's abandoned. That means that they could dress it up. It really
Is it even going to be a mall?
Oh, that's true. Are they just going to be an inside set?
Yeah, like they can recreate something because it's multiple levels that are still there.
And it's a huge space. Yeah,
I would think if they wanted a mall, they would find a mall that's an actual mall.
I guess.
But if they're doing an 80s, they can
redo it.
That's
the thing. Yeah, they can build whatever sets. It seems like...
You don't think she's shopping?
She could be a clerk.
Maybe she's shopping. Maybe they're taking her to the mall. I don't know. But she's been around for 80, 90 years already, so she knows
Remember
shopping is.
Remember when we saw her trying on different outfits the first movie?
Oh, she was really excited.
Now she's excited. There's a whole mall.
She's been shopping forever.
Yeah.
It's like 70s, 60s.
Yeah, it's going to be excited to see her like 60 years later find this character who's been living in this world for 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
I don't think it's shopping, but I could be wrong.
Maybe she gets a dog.
It'll be interesting if any other characters come from Themyscira to find Diana. And then they're exposed to the world, and then Diana's showing them, like, oh, this is what it's like in the modern world of men. That could happen.
And she's like, what is this device right here? She's like, that is a hot dog wrapped in cornbread. Oh. I love these corn dogs.
Oh, interesting. Thank you, Sky Patterson, for reminding us that. Aquaman, yes, in December. Shazam in April. November, Wonder Woman. But there being another DC film in 2019, it's the Vertigo film, The Kitchen, which is September 20th, 2019, which will be before Wonder Woman.
I think that's like a
two, from what it seems.
Like
that's
a losers type thing where it's not even.
What's a losers type thing?
The film losers.
Yeah. Oh. So it's not like it's certainly not in the DC universe. It's just based on a Vertigo title.
Right.
So it counts.
It's a DC. Guys, we will take what we can get talking about on this show. We will talk about what we can talk about. And also, don't forget that we've got another movie coming this summer for Teen Titans. Go
to the movies.
Yeah, to the movies.
And we just found out, I don't know if we talked about it, but Jimmy Kimmel is going to be playing Batman in it.
Yeah. Oh,
that's kind of cool.
I saw that, and you know what that actually made me look up that I had forgotten about? Was remember that when Batfleck went on Kimmel in 2016, and they joked about him getting cut out of BVS? He had said that he is filming scenes. I don't know if we ever even talked about that on the show.
Oh, that's right. I do remember when they went
and
on.
And Jimmy was like, I can't believe you guys cut my scenes from BVS. And he was devastated. And I was like, ooh, this was a little bit of a... foreshadowing moment. No.
Okay.
It was foreshadowing that he would eventually get to play. That's interesting because Jimmy Kimmel's an ABC guy, which is Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So he's crossing over a little bit. Noelle N. Wonder Woman shopping for Wonder Bra. That could be what's happening.
I think the Wonder Bra is an online only purchase.
Is it really?
Oh, maybe not back then. I don't know if you can get a Wonder
Guys,
Bra.
Guys, chat room, let us know. Are there any stores where you can find the Wonder Bra? Speaking about actors dictating what their next stories are going to be, actress, phenomenon, producer, Oscar nominee, Margot Robbie.
Can you, just like thinking about Margot Robbie and what she started out as to what she is now, would you ever have like...
guessed?
She's like, I remember when she first came on the scene, everyone's like, okay, this hot blonde.
You're talking about Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah. Okay, she's naked. Okay, whatever. But my gosh, she's Academy Award nominee now. She does something like I, Tonya. She's producing her own films already. And it's happened in, what, 4 years span? Yeah. Maybe?
I'm pretty sure she's like 27, too.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, she was 21 when she did Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah. So to me, it's like, this woman is insane. Like,
do you think
she's made all the right choices?
Yeah. It's
do
like,
you think she's one of the 10 most famous female actresses right now?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
Top 10?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do. Internationally? Really? I do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, wow. I do. I think people know her.
It's Suicide Squad. As much as we derail that movie, which I will derail all the time,
yeah.
It made an incredible amount of money.
So she wants to play the character again, and apparently she's really only concerned with one version of the project, and that is this the Gotham City Sirens mm-hmm. film that we're talking about, and yeah. she wants it to be rated R. Do we think that could happen?
We're no longer Gotham City Sirens. We are now Birds of Prey.
Oh, Birds of Prey. Right. Okay. Right.
If we were Gotham City Sirens.
Right. So she wants in on this Birds of Prey badass female rated R film. What do we think about that, guys?
I think that it merits an R rating if we need it, but I never like deciding on the rating of a film prior to knowing what it is exactly. Like, if you're doing something like a Deadpool, you know that you need an R rating. We already had a Harley Quinn film that wasn't rated R, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying that it did well critically, but it did incredibly well financially, and I think had that movie been rated R, it wouldn't have done as well financially.
I mean, the argument to it is now always Wolverine or Logan and Deadpool.
Yeah.
So studios have a little more. I would have said before Logan and Deadpool, no, R-rated comic book movies should not be R-rated, or a studio will not back them because yeah. they don't make money. But we've seen Logan and Deadpool will make money. But those characters, Deadpool because the language and the humor, and Logan because the violence.
Yeah.
What about Harley Quinn? Are you violence for violence? She's not known as being a violent person.
Yeah, this is a character that debuted in the Batman animated series. Yeah,
so it's not that she couldn't be in an R-rated world.
I'm not saying this, sure.
But
yeah.
it's that we've already seen her in a PG-13 one, and she played just fine.
Right, that's the thing. And so I'm just kind of like, don't make an R-rated movie to make an R-rated movie to be like, we're making an R-rated Harley Quinn film. I don't think it needs it.
I mean,
it's reviews in the chat.
Yeah.
Some people are saying no need for R-rated. Thank you, Kal-El fan. Xavier Jones says, yes, give me hard R. Yo, Gumnandana, sorry, says, please, rated R.
But let me ask you guys this. Why are you wanting a rated R film?
To me, it sounds desperate to just announce it to generate interest in the film. It sounds like a desperate cry. It sounds like Margot Robbie saying, oh, it's going to be cool like Deadpool. It's going to be cool like Logan.
Originally...
That's why we want it to be rated R.
Xenoa says she originally pitched it as R-rated, so it doesn't mean that it will end up being with that rating.
What was Atomic Blonde? Was that rated R?
Definitely.
Okay.
Very R.
Now, that to me didn't seem gratuitous in any way.
In all the right ways, it was gratuitous.
I could see a Harley Quinn movie in that. You didn't see Atomic Blonde?
No.
Rox, you got to watch that.
I heard that it was
pretty good.
No, it's great.
Really?
It's
I heard the action
movie.
Was good, but the movie was eh.
It's really good. But so that way, seeing that, I could see, okay. That way, R. I don't know. When I just think R, I just think, you know, swearing everywhere, boobies flying everywhere, and that you don't need that.
I've changed my philosophy now, and I do think we need it rated R. You had me. Yeah, I wasn't sure at first, but parts of your argument have made it clear to me that this film does in fact be rated R, and I will support that.
Man-ass is in rated R.
I just don't know if I see Birds of Prey. Like, if Birds of Prey means you're going to have a Batgirl in there,
yeah.
right? Doesn't that imply that?
Yes.
That's where I find it weird. Like, introducing a Bat Family character in a rated R film
is
not great branding. I don't know, and it's like these are still comic book characters.
That's the thing.
I just don't know if it's going that way. But I think the weirder thing is, like, having the... I mean, I understand she's the producer, too, but I just don't know...
See,
I don't know.
But it's always been like, okay, when you say Deadpool, you instantly go, oh, he's got to be R-rated. Logan, you're kind of like, every time he showed up, it's like, why is he not going full berserker? Why? With Harley Quinn, when you see her in Suicide Squad, you're not going, why isn't she swearing more? Why isn't she not, you know, it's like,
Yeah, with Logan, it was a weird thing because in the comics, Logan was never rated R, right. ever. I mean, it was always in normal comics. I mean, maybe a few Max titles here. Yeah. But for the most part, Deadpool, Logan, they were never rated R. Yeah. They were never swearing. But I think people saw the potential. Like, if you're going to have a guy who has claws, it's weird
right.
that there's never blood. That you're never seeing it.
His berserker rage we've never seen full on.
Right.
So they're like, give us the R because that would get an R rating.
And I think it's amazing and it's a testament to Hugh Jackman that people were, after two disappointing films, or one really disappointing and one middling film,
yeah.
that people came out in droves for the third film. If you do make this rated R, do you make it a 60, 70, $80 million film?
Guaranteed. Well, that way, if you don't make as much money, you're okay.
And it maybe has a little bit more street cred, and, you know, it could get people excited about it again.
What do Roxy, can you pull up how much Logan made overall? Yeah. I'm curious about this one.
I'm going to say it's about... $500-600 million.
You're talking about internationally or what? Just domestically?
International
total box. Total box office. What did it make at the end of the run?
That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah,
too.
I'm curious. I'm going to try and see if I got something here.
But while we start looking up that, we can talk about the fact that
it's total lifetime grosses domestic at $226 million and foreign $392 million
right there.
Oh wow! So about 600,
620
worldwide.
Yeah, Roxy.
Worldwide, 619. So again, this one was bolded first, so it was confusing.
I agree, Roxy. So, you know, it's interesting because we always talk numbers, and if it doesn't make a billion, it's a disaster. And if it doesn't make more than its last one, it's a disaster. But 620 million is not chump change.
The budget
but it's nothing massive.
The budget was 97 million.
And
so.
But to see the critical acclaim for this movie, and how people will, some people argue it's the best comic movie of all time.
Yeah.
That it didn't make more than that. I'm very.
It's also very rewatchable. I'm very
flummoxed that it only made 619.
What's flummox?
Like, I'm like, what? Like, Man of Steel, I think, made 650.
Yeah.
And that's Superman. But Logan, like, and people don't like Man of Steel. There's a very few, I mean, it's divisive. But Logan, everyone loves it. But only made $16 million.
That, well, I think I part of that is the rated R, too.
So do you think it's the R?
Yeah.
Or they look at Deadpool.
But
I think Deadpool made like almost 8.
Yeah.
I'm confused. That flummoxed
me.
I think Deadpool has more mass appeal. Like, Logan's a freaking dark ride. It's not a happy movie.
Maybe because it's the general.
It's not a happy movie.
No, I don't think it's.
It's a way to do dark. That's well, I find it very entertaining, but it is dark.
So Deadpool almost made $800 million.
Yeah, they made almost
$200 million more.
I think
that's interesting. I don't
the
know,
Harley Quinn rated R film with the badass females kicking ass. I think that is going to have the humor. I think it is going to be more Deadpool than Logan. With Robbie's star power, I don't think it would be a disaster. So I really just think it depends on having an awesome story and making a kick-ass film, which I think all the eyes at WB are on that. Like, we have to make these films good because they're starting to pick up on the fact that the audience is savvy. When you give them Justice League or an Avengers film, they're not just going to go for the titles and the capes. They're going to go for the brand they trust, and they have to start building that brand.
You know,
What were you saying?
No, it's just interesting because I was one of the people. Infinity War was incredible. It was just amazing, and I was surprised that there was not as much black backlash on the CGI because Thanos was incredible.
Yeah,
but people are like, "Oh, does it bother you that it was so much better than Avengers or Justice League?" And I'm like, "No, it doesn't," because I don't look back and go this and that. I go, "Can you imagine a Darkseid looking like Thanos did?
Looking
like
as good
how
as that.
Good that was?"
Yeah.
So I look forward, and I hope seeing this.
It's a good comparison, too, because we had a villain that was all CG in Justice League, and one, you know.
And that was arguably the weakest part of the movie.
It was pretty weak. Yeah. But also, it wasn't built up.
And seeing what the original version of Steppenwolf looked like, then the CGI, the FX people like, all right, let's see what we can come up with in 6 months. So, So I don't, you know, I try and always be the positive, you know, about DC. So seeing what, like, Darkseid could look like. It's awesome.
Look, that's the payoff of 10 years of a lot of films.
Agree.
I mean,
100%.
It is slow, methodical.
Three, yeah.
Like, you can't argue with that. And, like, it's good to know that every time they try to throw a franchise together, I love the fact, it's called Schadenfreude, when you take pleasure in others' failures. When I see, like, some of these dark universes or some of these dumbass franchises that they're starting to throw out there with no regard for the fans and the stories that grew up with these stories, just thinking that it's easy to ape that, I like seeing them fail. Because I'm like, no, it's not just that you're throwing them out there and people are going to show up. You know, if you tie the world together.
Let me ask you guys this, because I've been going back and rewatching all the Marvel after Infinity War, because I've realized this. The past 2017 for me really soured me on Marvel. I know people think I bash it, but I don't. It was the three punch of Guardians, Spidey, and Thor. Mm. I did not like them. And now I'm rewatching them.
You didn't like any three?
I'm really watching them again. I'm like, oh, I really don't like these films.
Oh my God, right. I love them, all three.
But I didn't go back into Black Panther going, oh, here we go, they're going to screw it up again. I had the hope where people in the PC is like, oh, Suicide Squad, this movie screwed me. Well, all right, Justice League, let's, you know, why is that not, like, I don't bash Marvel because they had three films I didn't like. Black Panther and Infinity War rekindled my love of Marvel.
People,
I'm like, oh my God, this is the Marvel I love.
You're a good person then,
I think, because people go in wanting to like the films. They love the characters.
Yeah.
And when you love the characters, you will forgive the plot holes, the little things that don't make sense. You'll let Marvel make the jokes and be like, oh, we're all called this, or this is why we're doing that. Like, they're kind of winking at you, and they're like, we know this doesn't... held under a microscope, all this stuff falls apart.
Right.
But you're on board with us. Yeah. So if you go in already kind of pessimistic, then you're really going to pick everything apart.
Okay.
And I think that... I think it's just, you know, that brand loyalty thing and, like, what you're trusting. And you know what? I freaking loved Thor. I mean, I loved the crap out of it. And I love the fact that you can go from that film to Infinity War with such a tonal shift, but the same characters, but still tying it together. Like, that to me is crazy. But you do see that in comics.
Yeah.
You do see comics that are like, it'll be a bottle episode or, you know, one thing where you have a day in the life of Hawkeye, and then the whole universe is on the line, and then they're same characters, and you never question it.
Right.
I think vacillating tone can, in the same world, we're going to see the biggest tonal shift from DC when Shazam opens in April of next year. Asher Angel has finished filming, and then...
it was an adorable picture that he posted saying,
oh, he's
that's a
so
wrap.
Cute.
Yeah.
And then we also have a picture from the set from like the final day with you could see Mary, so we know Mary Marvel's going to be in it, right?
They've
I guess
whole,
he'll be
they've
Mary
got the whole,
Marvel.
They've got everyone. Like,
so it's
going to
be interesting.
Family.
By the end of this film, are we going to see a bunch of people in capes and adult versions of their kids? That sounds awful to me, but I'm willing to go for the ride. It's like what I hate on the CW. I can't even watch the CW shows anymore because I'm just so annoyed with everybody having powers. I'm sorry.
Don't say it.
I can't stand it.
Okay.
I'm six episodes back on Flash.
Hold on. You can't stand all the people around with superheroes and costumes, but you loved Infinity War?
Yeah.
That's all people around in costumes, though.
Yeah. I know.
What's the difference?
The difference is those people are together because they're in costumes.
100%.
And the other people were together because of this one person in costume, and then slowly they all happen to develop powers.
On the Flash, like the people doesn't in the make sense. They most got it from the particle accelerator explosion, which was in proximity to where they are.
It just makes every time you add another person with powers, it makes every other person with powers less special. With the Avengers thing, it's like you're putting together all these special people because the threat is so immense. So when on Flash, I'm wondering, well, why isn't he using his powers here? And why it's like they have to then manipulate reality so much to get through a story. It's just a mess.
Fair enough.
To me. So a lot of people are predicting in the chat role I just saw that we're going to see our first trailer at Comic-Con. That seems to time pretty well. But we also don't have an Aquaman trailer. Are we going to see like a 1-2 Aquaman Shazam Comic-Con experience from WB?
I think just Aquaman.
I don't know.
WB always goes pretty big at Comic-Con. Yeah. They do.
I think definitely full Aquaman
they
trailer
have to.
And a teaser of Shazam.
Yeah. I think the cast will probably be there for both.
But teasers now at this point are like 3 minutes long at some point.
Sometimes, so
like... Or you get the Predator teaser that came out today and you just left going, oh boy.
By the way.
A teaser should make you want to see the movie.
Predator, original. One of my absolute all-time
favorite films. Come on!
I think he's never been better in a movie.
That was your Arnold?
That was a great
That was
Arnold.
Good. That Thank was good. You brought me back to that.
But some other Dylans. Yeah, you got to push too many pencils.
Yeah, it's pretty good. The fight at the end.
Come on, I'm here. Kill me. Come on.
That fight.
Do it.
Is that one of the greatest fights on camera?
I love Predator.
And it works. It still holds up.
I love Predator.
There's no CGI there.
I don't even remember when I saw it because I didn't see it in the theater, but I think I saw it at home on TV.
1987. Two of the greatest action films of all time came out. Predator and RoboCop still hold up to this day.
They do. They do.
So good. I will say RoboCop is one of the best superhero films ever made.
Come on!
Do it! Do it! I'm here! Kill me!
Come on, here!
Kill me!
Do it!
Because he's got a trap. He's trying to get him to walk in a trap, and he's got a tree that's going to fall in his head.
The predator senses. He's like, oh, what are you doing down there, pal? I'm not coming down here.
And then we get this trailer today where the best we get is, oh, they're modifying themselves?
I don't know. Shane Black,
I'm trusting you. I know this is going to work.
Though, so.
I think it's going to be good.
Where are we at now? What do we got?
Okay, let's talk about new Easter egg found in Suicide Squad. What is this?
Well, I will tell you.
So apparently, in this Joker scene featuring Jared Leto's Joker, in the background you see nicely outlined in red, there's been a new exciting Easter egg revealed about the Suicide Squad film. This is going to make you go back.
The teddy bear in the background is Joker's therapy bear. Mm. Did I spoil your whole thing? Which is ironically an Easter egg that has popped up in Batman comics for years. Not only was the Easter egg spotted, it was also confirmed by none other than director David Ayer himself.
That's pretty awesome. No, I don't care. And then they also have, like, one of his villains was, like, a giant bear with guns. Wasn't that a thing? In Suicide Squad, wasn't there a big teddy bear with a machine gun?
Yeah, the panda bear, wasn't it?
He was a panda bear. Not actually a bear, right? Yeah. Panda's more in the koala family, I think.
Hard to say.
I think that's true. I think that's
quick
the thing.
Google could say, actually. I guess David Ayer responded and just wrote, making movies. That was his confirmation.
Ah, okay. Suicide Squad. Speaking of films of DC Universe's past, Zack Snyder's picks, are they starting to feel like jilted ex-lover or always welcome? You know what I mean?
To me, they're welcome, but I see what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like, because he's like, remember this? So here we have a nice Aquaman pick.
It's like the Mamba Berries. Mamba.
Mamba.
Mamba when.
Mamba when.
Well, here's the thing. I think, look how many filmmakers bash their films. And they came out and they still, like Trank when he talks about Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
He probably had a great experience on the film, making the film. He was proud of his cast. He loves his cast. So I'm like...
But that's what I mean, the jilted ex-lover thing. I mean, like, I feel like he feels bad that this thing didn't end well. Like, this was not a happy ending.
He feels bad for us.
He feels bad for us. We kind of feel bad for him. And yet, a lot of us weren't always a fan of the relationship to it was together. It really is a lot like a relationship. It's like, we're great together, we're bad together, but ultimately, we're not meant to go the distance.
You know what's funny? When he posted, his rocks you posted up there. He posted on Cavill's birthday that picture of him in Reeves' suit.
Okay, that's the next thing we want to talk about. So throw that out there. Yeah, that's okay.
Roxy, you're
that's okay.
Me
we were looking at. Aquaman.
I like to pull them up early so that I know the internet will work.
That's okay.
And I like to.
But here we have another pick from Snyder, and this is one I haven't seen. It's funny how much less massive he looks. Is this just because he hadn't done his workout yet?
He looks so skinny.
He had to start himself for... That was what they had to sell the studio
in
on.
In case you guys are listening on iTunes, what we're talking about right now is for the 35th birthday of Henry Cavill, Zack Snyder shared a photo, and it said, "This was a shot I did to show the studio that this was my Superman." They agreed, got the suit from Warner Archives, and Henry honored its legacy. Happy birthday, my brother.
Oh, man. See what I mean?
It's his chest that looks so small here comparatively. Like, his arms and his chest.
A costuming reason why.
Looks so good, though.
Because the emblem is so big. It's dwarfing his chest. Yeah. If the emblem's smaller, look at Brandon Routh's Superman emblem. It's really small.
It's tiny.
It makes him look bigger.
Yeah. Well, he still didn't look like a very big Superman.
And he looks even smaller as the
Atom.
I just
think people view, you know, they gave so much crap to Snyder. They said, oh, he doesn't understand Superman. I solely disagree.
Yeah.
He got Superman. I mean, the fact that he wanted to put him in the Reeves suit to do this, and he's like, he knows what's iconic and what's Superman. He just was going to take his time to get there. He had it planned out. He even said, he's like, Man of Steel, there was going to be 5 films.
I actually have an edit of the film where instead of the tornado scene, it cuts to the Donner Superman on the farm, and then all of a sudden Glenn Ford and I superimpose what's his name? His dad.
Oh, Costner.
Yeah,
oh,
I put Costner's face over him.
It's one of those badly edited where his face is kind of like floating.
And he does the heart attack thing.
Like, oh, no.
And that film works great. That film is 100% perfect for me. It's a little junky when it gets in that part, but other than that, it's pretty awesome.
That's all I have to say about that.
So that's all we have to say about that. Interesting question. Now, this is what we're going to talk about. Will the Russos be directing a DC character film anytime soon? Obviously, the Russo brothers have just put out their, fourth?
Third.
Or third?
Third.
Third film.
Two caps and then this.
So they're ensconced in the Marvel Universe.
I guess they're doing four because Avengers 4.
Right.
So, yes.
At least it just put out.
But that's all we know. So they might be done after that. And so I guess people are interested. Hey, you guys got the magic moves. It worked so well when Joss Whedon came over from Marvel to DC. Are you guys going to do the same thing, perhaps? And the Russos were like, nah. We don't find their characters as relatable, except maybe Batman, which is kind of like the answer you hear from a lot of people.
You know, I think this is what we're talking about. And of course, articles take this up. Oh, they're throwing shade at DC. And no, it's not. What they're saying is, and what we know of Marvel, Marvel characters are us.
Yeah.
They're the humans that have extraordinary things happen to them. DC's even said they are based on the gods. They are the archetypes of the gods, so they're not relatable.
Yeah.
So I think that's what he meant by that. It's like they don't relate to him. They're not. And I think that also is why DC, what worked for Marvel will not work for DC in making your films. You can't do it that way. It's just.
You know, it's interesting. I once heard Aaron Sorkin talking about like making the film The American President. And he said like stories work really well. If you put a normal person in extraordinary circumstances, you have a great story. That's kind of Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
The opposite of that, and why it related to the American president, was like, what if you put an extraordinary person, the most powerful person on the planet, the president, in an everyday circumstance, dealing with dating or something like that, to tell a great story? So I guess to tell the story of these gods, you have to put them in more relatable stories. If they're just gods doing godly things, then there's no in for us as people. So that's interesting. That's why the Marvel stuff is always about them winking and normal everyday stuff. Oh, are we using our code names? Oh, I'm doing this. Oh, he's not that cool. Oh, Star-Lord is like, you know, jealous of Thor. Like, those human things. And I guess it's hard on the god scale when everything is just epic and huge.
I think.
But those characters were the archetypes. Like, the DC characters were around first.
Right.
And another thing to note is that DC characters were all invented by different people. There's no Stan Lee.
You're right.
And, you know, Stan Lee wrote all those characters. Jack Kirby did most of them. Ditko, all that. DC is a hodgepodge.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Yeah, and then a lot of other characters they've acquired from other companies. So it's just funny how now what we're seeing in movies is kind of being, is aping their discovery, you know, because like Kevin Feige's the Stan Lee, and, you know, there's none of that. There's no corollary for that in DC. So we're seeing that in the movies.
I love you guys a lot.
Enjoy. You have to go?
My heart out.
Oh, your hard out. I'm so sorry.
At least it's a hot one, though.
Okay, well, we were just about to get to TV time.
You have to talk about your Swamp Thing love.
That's all I'm going to talk about, because that's all I really know about.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of great shows that also aired, and you guys can listen to me talk about them on Only Stupid Answers.
Okay.
Before I go. I love you guys. You're so handsome.
Say goodbye to Roxy Stryer. You can find her at Roxy Stryer.
So true.
All over the place. She's going to see Solo before you. Be jealous of her. All right.
Here we go.
Right. So also, related to the same story, people asked James Gunn, who is like kind of the biggest mouthpiece for Marvel, I would think.
James Gunn's the mouthpiece?
Don't you think so? Like, he seems to say a lot.
Yeah, he does. He's got a mouth on him. I agree.
In a good way. I mean, he's very political, and he's also talks very positive about like all the films. But one thing he does say is that what superhero he would be able to kill off.
And then he said,
I could kill Batman easy.
Okay.
And that was it. I guess they ran into him. They caught up to James Gunn at the airport, TMZ does.
Oh.
Which, if you ever fly into LAX, there's always like people
I've never seen him there.
See who?
TMZ.
Oh, I've seen him there.
You've seen a lot?
Oh, yeah.
The reason they have problems there?
Yeah.
The congestion sucks.
Yeah, they just have like these people waiting with cameras, and then like when celebrities are going in and out, they attack them. So Gunn could kill off Batman. Oh, well.
Okay.
I kind of can't wait for the DC films to be doing a lot better so the back and forth rivalry can seem a little less like a bullying situation and more like an honest rivalry.
Yeah, yeah.
Because right now it's like it's not fun.
You want the distinguished competition in House of Marvel from like the 80s and 90s. You want that rivalry to be there.
But now, even though she's just left, I did want to talk about Batman Ninja, but I did not get a chance to watch it.
I didn't watch it either. I mean,
I have it downloaded on my PS4.
I heard
mixed things just because they said if you're not into anime, you will not like it. And I'm not into anime.
The thing about anime that I find sometimes find the stories so incomprehensible.
Yeah, I can't follow it. And this was, this was not a, hey, it's an American studio making this. It was a Japanese studio, anime studio.
Yes.
And it's being dubbed into English.
Yes.
So I have a feeling that's going to be weird as hell.
All the trailers I saw were all like... Yeah. Japanese. They weren't.
Anytime
really
I try and watch anime that's originally Japanese and dubbed in American, I can't follow it because the translations just don't work as well. So I don't know if I'm going to be picking that one up.
Has anybody in the chat room seen Batman Ninja? I'm going to watch it tonight for sure. Anyone? Anyone?
Maybe not.
All right, maybe not.
What do we got? What's on the docket?
So that's all. She just left. So let's honor Roxy Stryer with a little Roxy Stryer's TV time.
Let's.
It's time for
You got back?
All the girls think Johnny's fine. Adam's cooking so divine. Also Mikey Christmas.
No, it's here
DC movie news, it's time to talk. TV time.
Yeah.
Switch.
You can switch it up?
These ones work. Alright, just for TV time.
There we go.
I can hear.
Alright.
Batman Anthony, I don't know what happened there, but these work just fine.
Were you using the wrong headphones this whole time?
Or maybe?
Yes, Batman to me.
That doesn't explain Roxy, though.
I was,
maybe Roxy just...
I was using the wrong headphones the whole time. So we didn't really talk... were you on when we talked about the DC Universe streaming service?
I wasn't on... I haven't been on in a while. Okay. So let's talk about that.
So this is really exciting. This is happening.
For you, it is.
Yeah.
Weren't you a little upset? Like, because you were like, oh, it's not going to be a movie, though.
So, okay. So we're talking right now about this Swamp Thing news that happened. Okay. So James Wan, who we all know has been hard at work on Aquaman, somehow is also producing a Swamp Thing
which
TV
they
show.
Probably would not have gone to him if they weren't happy with what they were seeing on Aquaman.
No. And his history with New Line and low budget and horror really makes him a great fit. Now, when you guys first showed this to me and I saw it, I was like, digital series. And I... All of a sudden, I flashed back to like 5 years ago, and I thought it was like going to be a web series. I was imagining 8 to 12 minute episodes of Swamp Thing. And then I realized, wait a second. Netflix makes the biggest shows, the biggest, most expensive shows anywhere. Like the Lost in Space I just saw was like $150 million movie. So this is exciting. I'm really excited about the story. I'm wondering how they're going to bring Swamp Thing to life. Is this going to be... any practical, or is it going to be an all CGI creation? Because that does make me nervous, because while Thanos was incredible, that was like the most expensive movie ever made.
But speaking of Lost in Space, that robot is half and half. It's CGI, but it's also a guy in a suit, and it's awesome. It's awesome.
And they don't overuse it.
Nope.
So did you like that too? Did you like that?
I'm four episodes in and I love it.
Okay, I loved it.
I saw the pilot at WonderCon and I fell in love with it. I'm a fan of the original movie show-ish.
I never saw either. I thought
this
was...
It's not good, but it's fun. I enjoyed it. But I had high hopes for this, and it delivers. I'm four episodes in.
So, yeah, that combination... But,
yeah, that... Yeah, suit with... practical suit with CGI enhancement for Swamp Thing, I think, would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, because while it is an organic thing, he's also somewhat amorphous, you know? So you can do a lot with that. It was funny. The USA show that had, like, a bunch of episodes, a bunch of seasons, that was the same guy that was in the first two Swamp
Dick
Thing
Durock,
movies.
Right?
Dick Durock, yes. Who, I think, RIP, recently passed away.
Did
I think.
He?
I believe so. No. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn. I think we reported that. this is really exciting. The fact that Titans and Swamp Thing, you've got my money now. Now...
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, they do, yeah.
So DC Universe is only going to be DC stuff. It's not going to be other Warner Brothers stuff. I mean, it's going to be...
No, just DC.
That's crazy.
All DC Network.
So then what is Warner Brothers going to do with their other films? Like, what's the streaming service that is just for them on that?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's interesting.
I don't know.
But I can't wait for... I mean, now people are saying that we're probably going to get a trailer for Titans... at Comic-Con as well.
Yeah, just... I think Titans will have a huge presence there. But will
I was
it be,
hoping a pilot.
But will it be... It won't be Hall H stuff, because they usually have a separate day for their TV stuff.
It's
so
like
where's
in room
it going to fall?
Or whatever,
yeah, where's
right?
it going to fall?
Yeah. But a lot of times they will do a pilot. So I'm hopeful that they're going to show the whole Titans pilot. Either way, if this has all
It's just, I'm just so curious, because we talk about the CW stuff and it has a very distinct flavor. But this DC streaming, everything we've seen costume-wise, is very movie-ish, like as in movie-looking.
Yeah, even like though Berlanti is still the producer of Titans.
Is he?
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's very, to me, it's, yeah, it's they're getting money from somewhere for it. So I don't know.
I don't know. But it, look.
But then if you're paying for it, I don't know. I don't know the logistics of it, Adam. But it looks good. I mean, the Titans looks really good.
Yeah, I know some people thought like whatchamacallit, was it Starfire that people were reacting to?
I think that's a shot of them in public. I think they might be using some kind of disguise enhancers, like what Nightcrawler used to wear. He used to have that thing that turned him without blue and he could walk among people. I think they built something that they can go out in public. I don't think that's going to be Starfire's look.
Yeah, much like how they use Martian Manhunter on Supergirl, it's clearly just serving the budget. Like, you just have to have that guy. I mean, you can't do Martian Manhunter all the time. But I did hear on Heroes the other day, they had Deadpool creator Liefeld. And I guess he also, I didn't know he co-created Hawk and Dove. Is that a thing?
I know he did the reboot in New 52.
Okay. It was, not a fan. Because he was just talking about how good Hawk and Dove look on the Titan show. He was speaking high praise.
Yeah, I don't think because I think Hawk and Dove are from the 80s.
Definitely from the 80s.
Yeah, so I don't think it was Layfield. I don't think he seems 90s-ish. He did the reboot of the New 52 version.
And they changed sexes, right? Somebody changed sexes?
There used to be a guy and two guys.
Right.
Hawk and Dove used to be two guys.
Right, and then became a guy and a girl.
And it was... Yeah, I want to say maybe he was the reason for it. Because Justice League Unlimited had them as two guys.
Chat roll, help us out here.
They're two brothers. Yeah, one was kind of like the pacifist and one was the angry,
They're just two brothers.
Yeah, so I think maybe Layfield was the reason that they went guy-girl, which they are now in the Titans show.
Right, and so maybe that's why he was reacting like one of his little babies. Is happening.
Could be.
Anything else? CW stuff, Krypton stuff. I'm trying to catch up on Krypton. I hear really good stuff
about Krypton, so I'm going to wait for them all to come out at once and just go to town.
It's so unpredictable. You can never know what is going to happen.
Matthew, you do the wrap-up show about Krypton. You talked about that. So, where are you on it? Are you loving it, or
I think Anthony can talk better on this. Hold on one second.
Okay, Anthony, if he's around.
Oh, hey, guys. What's up? It's Anthony.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Yeah, I've been watching Krypton. I haven't catched the most recent episode, but last episode was fire. It was so good.
So I hear about that show, man. I hear it's great.
Yeah, we finally got our own little ragtag team of who's gonna go up against Brainiac.
Okay.
There's been some twists and turns. If you haven't seen it, at least the last two episodes or three episodes, there's some major spoilers. I'm not gonna go into, but definitely worth watching.
Okay.
Let's just say Brainiac is on Krypton now, and he is wrecking some things, so it's fantastic, and I can't wait to see this episode. So catch the Krypton After Show as well on Sundays at 4 p.m. with Stephanie, myself, and Candace Cruz. But yeah, fantastic.
Sounds
show.
Good.
Well, that's the show that I'm definitely gonna keep watching. I'm about three episodes behind, but there's enough good stuff that's keeping me going. I do like the look. A lot of the costumes look good. Some of the colloquialisms are weird after a while. Like, you feel like, all right, they're talking very, Earth American.
Right, yeah, I get you.
But, I understand that kind of has to happen. But then Adam Strange does that even more, and that works because he's Adam Strange out of time and all that.
I'm very curious why they went with Adam Strange instead of Booster Gold. Because the way they're portraying him seems very Booster Goldish.
Because
he doesn't seem Adam Strange to me.
They have plans for Booster Gold.
They keep I shouldn't say that, because they had plans for Shazam for so long, and look where we are.
I know.
It almost seems like the Booster Gold stuff is it was the three of them. Shazam, Booster Gold, and Black Adam.
Yeah.
Were these always talked about, can't use them. And one of those is full ongoing.
I also think,
I don't know, Adam Strange to me just doesn't read right.
It would be awesome if Booster Gold was in it, but I also feel like he's too much of a showboat. Like, it would have taken too much focus. Like, he's got the costume and he's got.
Yeah, I get you.
You know what I mean? Like, Adam Strange just kind of looks like a guy.
I agree. I think Adam Strange is the better fit. I think they should have just made his character more Adam Strange-ish.
Yeah. And what is his character like?
He's kind of like. Because what he is on Krypton, he's kind of like a... I don't want to say he's goofy. He's kind of... It's tough.
So Zeno Hour is chiming in and saying that Rob Liefeld did the art for the 1988 Hawk and Dove miniseries. The guy has been in comics for 30-something years.
He did the 88 version?
Yeah. And that's probably what I had.
Work in the 88?
Miniseries, yes. I had that. I actually...
Hold on a second. They're saying Rob Liefeld created Hawk and Dove, or worked on Hawk and Dove.
Did the art, yeah. And then that was when it was created. Yeah, so if he did the art, he's the co-creator, right? Like, he didn't write the series, for sure. But
I don't
know
about that. Did he really create it? I maybe he's been around for... Because what, Youngblood was, what, 91 when he formed Image? 93? So he was working with DC or Marvel before that.
Yeah.
I remember his ridiculous Captain America from The Heroes Reborn with a giant... fucking chest,
giant everything, yeah, and the non-American A on his.
I'm not a fan of his artwork. I know a lot of people are.
Yeah,
I think he. I don't know. He's an industry pioneer, and you cannot fault him for that. He's part of what's changed comics, but I'm not a fan of his design.
We should definitely listen to him on Heroes too, because I just love how candid he is.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got skin in the game, and he knows stuff, and he's talking candidly. He's one of those few guys that's like walking in both worlds.
Have you ever listened to any about the feud of all them? And how they,
with the Image guys?
Yeah, like, that's a fascinating story. Jim Lee, Sylvester, how he kind of brought Layfield went off on his own. Because I remember for some reason Layfield did a Levi's commercial.
I remember that.
Remember that? With like Youngblood.
Is your fly buttoned? It was the button fly. So absolutely. I was four or five jeans.
Yeah, I'm very. That is a whole. The Image guys, that was a whole interesting story that I've every time I chanced to read and listen to stuff on those guys. Yeah, but anyway, I don't know really, what else we got. That's it. Right?
Liefeld did not create Hawk and Dove. He just did the miniseries.
Okay. I didn't see the miniseries.
All right, we're going to get to the bottom of this Hawk and Dove business.
We'll get to it.
Anyway, that's all the time we have. This is the Mikey and Adam Show. Are we competing sometime soon on the Schmodown?
I don't know. They won't tell us anything.
Okay. Hopefully,
I don't even know who we're playing. Who are we going to... I don't even know. They didn't say anything.
Hopefully we get to do something.
Show up and we'll see what happens.
I hope I have the chance to be next to you and be silent as I usually am.
I hope I at least can do some trivia correctly.
I hope
I get some answers.
Yeah, I have such brain problems.
We'll see. We'll let you guys know whenever we know. You guys will know. And hopefully you'll be there to cheer us up.
In the meantime, people love to talk to you on the internet, and you're so good at responding and having conversations with people, Mr. Kalinowski.
So, depending on my mood. Sometimes I get snippy with people and then I check to see that they follow me, and I'm like,
you feel so much.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're sensitive. You're like an open wound.
I know.
But where can people find you if they want to?
At Mike Kalinowski, Twitter. That's where I go to. Is that what's your go-to social media? Because that's mine. People love Instagram. I don't get it.
Twitter, but I've been doing a lot more on Instagram.
But you've got the food.
Yes, the food thing.
So that's you
so
got stuff to show off.
So food stuff is much more on Instagram. Like, I was just in New Orleans for Jazz Fest, and I took lots of pictures of food and stuff like that.
I know it's Doghouse, and I know you got the sausage and the hot dogs there, but that mother clucker.
I know. It's great.
And so if you guys don't like, you know, you're not a sausage guy, and you don't want to try Doghouse.
Yeah.
Trust me, just go.
Yeah, so we've got a great fried chicken sandwich. We've got incredible burgers, incredible sausages and dogs. Doghouse, we're opening all over the country. I just found out I'm going to be doing a pop-up in New York City.
Really?
From mid-June until August.
And they don't have one in New York City?
They don't. So this is going to be a three-month stand. I'm very excited about that. And please, 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 even if you don't like food TV, tune in to Food Network on May 27th, I believe 9 p.m. I'm not sure. The show is called Food Network Star Comeback Kitchen. I'm going to be on it competing.
Cooking?
Cooking.
Woo!
Yes, I'm getting back into the arena for the first time in 10 years. I've only been
hosting. That's how long it's been?
Since I've competed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is it one of those ones where like, all right, chefs, here are your ingredients. Adam, you're going to be making this, this, and this
sometimes,
with these ingredients.
Sometimes.
And you're going to be running around like, I don't have time. My bread's not rising.
Dude,
that's gonna be awesome.
I do a thing where like my finger gets cut and that thing doesn't stop bleeding.
Oh, you've taped it right?
Against things. Yes.
Oh no,
yeah,
your finger bleeds.
Oh,
you're
my
trying
God.
To get food.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna be awesome.
It's tough.
Good,
but it's really stressful and crazy. And I would love it if you guys can watch it and then chime in and like you know just be cool about it. Find me at Adam Gertler, and we'll see you next time on DC Movie News. From
producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.